Usually, I don't like to read reviews, but I'm just excited. Like, I can't wait. I want to know how people feel about it, and I want to know how much they love it. So, here we go. Well, it's Pitchfork. They gave it a negative review.
They didn't like it?
No, like it's a -4 out of 10. +10, I assume. Pitchfork can be kind of pretentious, though, so. But, ooh, what? You ain't gonna knock my hustle. Let's look at another one. Let's pull it up. Rolling Stone. Okay. Out of 4 possible stars, Rolling Stone has given it the shit emoji. I can only assume it's a mess up, you know? They must have had a problem with their, No, this seems like the right score for how they're saying this. You know what? Let's just do a search. Conquest review. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Conquest, a triumph. That's a good one. Let me read this. This is on The Onion. So, you know, mixed. Let's call it mixed reviews.
A picture paints 1,000 words as one door closes, another door opens. Two wrongs don't make a right. Now good things come to those who wait. Take the highs and lows, dear. You'll get what you're given.
So, hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damian.
And this is Douglas.
There's still no coach podcast. I'm still upset with Douglas.
Do you think that in the year 2023 you'll get a coach podcast?
I don't want to think about the year 2020. I know it's next year, but it still just feels wrong.
In the year 2000?
Yeah, it sounds like fake time. It wasn't Lupa in 2020?
Oh boy.
Let me take a look, because now you've got me curious.
No, it wasn't.
It was the year 2044.
Yeah, it was later than that. I saw that movie 2 months ago. I saw it while I was unemployed, because fuck, that movie's good.
I rewatched it recently, mainly because everyone's talking about Rian Johnson movies, and I'm like, I haven't watched Lupa in a long while, because he has a new thing coming out in a month. And I was very happy to rewatch that movie. It's really good. Yeah.
By the way, isn't Lupa in the year 2012?
Shut the fuck up.
That's what this box says. So I just bought Lupa. Mm-hmm. And the box says 2012.
Was it? Yep, it came out in 2012. Jesus. I saw Christ, that. I'm old. I saw that the first TIFF I came to. That's how I know exactly what year it was.
I'm so fucking old.
It was playing at TIFF that year.
Yep.
And I was still in Trinidad.
This is not cool.
This week we have come together to go back in time to the 70s to discuss a film by the name of The Seven Beauties, directed by Lena Wertmüller. I'm guessing that's how you pronounce it, because his name looks German, but I know this movie is Italian, so I'm confused nonetheless.
I'm sure you're wrong.
Right?
Wow. Because non-Italian people can't direct Italian movies.
That's in the 70s, it wasn't allowed.
Yeah. Just like how Italian people can't direct Western.
I just checked and she was born in Rome, Italy, so leave me alone.
Right, fair enough. You win.
Right. She definitely couldn't be German if she was born in Italy. Parents couldn't be German. Ridiculous.
Questa faccia pensa, e fammi un bello sorriso una volta.
So the film centers around the protagonist, who is Pascal Qualino, who is a dandy and small-time hood in Naples during World War II, and it's his travels of how he survived during the war, as well as some other stories from here and there in Naples. Douglas, you went back in time to Italy and you found this film and you came to us. Please,
yes, I did.
Tell me more.
So I cannot wait to hear both of your experiences with this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you mine. First of all, just to say, I have no notes. This is not due to laziness on my part. This is due to not watching the movie. All right, so I have actually watched a piece of it. Here what happened. And remember, we were starting to talk about last night and sporting events.
Yes.
And I said that I would keep that story for now. Here is that story. I actually watched maybe the first 40 minutes of this movie and had to stop to do something else or whatever. So I can talk a little bit about the movie. But then when I had to stop, I said, okay, I'll watch it on Monday night. I'll watch it effectively last night.
Mm-hmm.
I came home and I don't know if you recall, but I'm pretty sure I was bitching and moaning in the WhatsApp chat.
That your internet.
That my internet was just a muy bado. It was horrible.
Garbage.
So much so that I could not connect to anything.
Wow.
The closest I could do was, first of all, I couldn't connect to my VPN.
Mm-hmm.
So, which means I couldn't watch this movie because I was watching it on the Criterion site.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing was, I said, well, at least let me try to watch a football, the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And so I could barely watch it because I have, so obviously I couldn't watch it on YouTube TV, but I could barely watch it via the local NFL app.
Right.
There were actually times where it didn't look too bad. And I would keep saying, oh, maybe that means, no, it did not. The internet was just atrocious. And so I literally could not watch any of this movie last
night.
But what I will say is the first 40 minutes were not fun. The war thing, I like the first 30 to 60 seconds of it because it was somber imagery paired with kind of lighthearted music, but then it just kept going and going and going, and then it moved into what was clearly supposed to be the explanation, right? Ooh, Pasquale or whoever it is, Seven Beauties, is a runaway soldier, right? But as with a lot of old movies, this movie is suffering, at least at this stage, from old movie-itis, in that you don't need to give me a 30-minute explanation for something I just said in 2 seconds, right? And also, if you are going to give me a 30-minute explanation, do it good. Do it in a way that I will enjoy. I'm actually upset that I didn't finish this movie and I didn't get to go beyond where I wanted because... So the reason I picked this movie was the trailer. The trailer mainly focused on one specific scene, which was a scene where Pasquale goes to defend the honor of his sister.
Yep.
Says he's going to kill some sort of don or rival thug in the area and gets just punched in the face. Just gets knocked out. That is literally the scene that I stopped at.
Okay.
I stopped right as he was walking up to the guy to say, I am going to kill you, or whatever he said, right? So that is when I would imagine the fun starts. The fun did actually start a little bit before that. For me, I enjoyed when it finally switched from somber World War II explanation to I'm in Italy and I'm just a joke, where he is having family meetings, where he is being a little too European, a little too Italian with the ladies. where he's running around smiling at everybody, and you're not quite sure if everybody's smiling at him or if everybody's laughing at him. And I'm happy with that ambiguity. And it probably isn't ambiguous. Maybe it's just me adding, me taking my experiences and putting it onto this movie. But I did enjoy that lightheartedness of it. And that's what I hoped that the movie was going to be. And that's what I hope that the movie would continue after I left. No, you guys can tell me what actually happened and exactly how bad this movie is.
So, Andrew, I'd like you to take this
one. So last night, so first of all, yesterday was a holiday here, which is why I got like the podcast edited, did all sorts of things, cooked up a big meal. Uh-huh. And then at the end of the day, I'm like, all right, cool. Let me put on the shitty movie Douglas made me watch. And I turned it on and then it had The Bombs Over Baghdad. And I know it's not Baghdad, but you know, those are the words that just came out of my mouth. Along with this guy making this speech. And then I immediately turned it off. And I finished watching Succession. I can talk about Succession. Today, I came home from work and I'm like, all right, let me try and watch this movie again. I watched like around 25 minutes. And then I went, no, Douglas, I can't do this. If you got to tell me to go fuck myself over Roma, I get to tell you to go fuck yourself over this one.
Oh, wow.
You 2 for 2.
Motherfuckers.
So Damien, tell me a word story here.
Sons of bitches. I cannot believe. Alright. Alright. Alright, so let me try. 20 minutes in, he would have still been
in the war.
Yeah, like
probably still been with that guy.
So the last thing I saw in the movie, there was a guy in Italy who was complaining about his sisters, and one of them was stripping or whatever, and.
And you reach about the same spot.
And he got to the point where he was out on the street and was, let's say, giving confidence to a young lady who was having trouble seeing.
Wait, so you didn't enjoy that?
And then I
ducked
out.
That whole part, I was down.
Then I ducked
out. I was like, finally, it's become the shitty, dumb movie that I wanted to be.
Did any of you get to the part where he and his dumb friend, after deserting, ran into the lady's house and was stealing food?
Nope.
Wait, did it go back in time?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. No, I didn't.
All right. Well, guys, get ready. So, the movie you saw and Andrew saw is not the movie. At all.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to take you through what happens after that.
Mm-hmm.
They show that they desert, he and his stupid friend. They then go and steal some food from a lady's house. They are then caught by the Nazis. They're then put in camps. And then the rest of this movie, the entire second half of this movie, is them being in Nazi camps.
Really?
You see all his happy fun times messing with women in the first half of the movie? There's a Nazi bitch that is forcing him to have sex with her in the second half of this movie. At some point, we've seen these movies. You know what happens in these camps.
Yep.
At some point, he is forced to shoot one of his fellow inmates for his chance to be free. And then at the end of the movie, the lesson, because there is a lesson in this movie, is that he finally learns that he was a piece of shit his entire life and what he has to go through to survive. What he had to go through to survive in this camp is akin to what women have to go through to survive every day. That is how this movie ends.
Is that what this movie's about?
That is how this movie ends. He's an old man. Mm-hmm. There's no smiles. He goes back to his mother and seven sisters and tells them he finally understands because of the trauma that he's gone through. When this movie ended, I was very upset because I assumed a man wrote and directed this movie. I was like, this is the most heavy-handed shit I've ever seen. Because for a man to go, listen, or for a man to understand what women go through, you have to literally be part of the Holocaust. I went, whoever wrote this meant to stab to death. Then I found out it was a woman, a lady director. I don't know if you've ever seen one of these. And then I was even more confused because...
No, I only watch movies by experienced directors.
Anderson. I was... Because all the women in this show are prostitutes. Just across the board. They're just whores. And then the second half of the movie is... Because the movie quickly establishes that men in Italy are monsters. And you go, all right, fine.
That was clear from when right. I was watching that movie.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I've seen enough movies from this region to understand that. Mm-hmm. Italy must be happy fun times. You're like, how did Silvio Berlusconi come out of this place? And then you watch his movies like, all of this lights. But then the movie takes the hardest left turn I've ever seen in any movie. And it is... Like, it is just a solid hour of just Nazi Holocaust. Like, it's just this, like, they even, like desaturate all the color. Like, it's just miserable. The second half of it is just miserable.
So it's kind
of
gray when it's
there. Right. Yeah. And all of them have on the uniforms. But Douglas, I want... The parts that I want you to see is watching this big, burly Nazi lady force this man to have sex with. Because the juxtaposition between what happens at the beginning and what has happened to him now. Here's that. Because did he try to rape some girl? All right, so you guys did...
I did not see that.
Pass where you are, there's a girl inside a sanitarium. So she's shackled and everything.
Sanitarium.
Sorry, my apologies. And he then decides to force himself upon this crazy person. And then you see the second half of the movie and you're like, this is heavy-handed. And it's like, listen, he's not, like, you're not rooting for him because he's a monster from the beginning of the movie. It's not like you're going, oh, everything's going to work out for this guy. He's the best. And so when you see what's happening to him in the second half, you're like, listen, yeah, he raped the girl and has harassed every single girl that he's seen from the beginning of time. This seems a bit much. And then you get to this lady raping him and you're like, this is entirely too much. Then at the end of the movie, they're just like, listen, we were being subtle before. Here's what this movie's about. It's like, fuck this movie. Everybody in this movie. Okay. This movie is bad. You saw that in the first couple of minutes. And that is when he was trying to be upbeat and fun. Imagine that same person given free reign. Like, make me a Holocaust. It's bad. The lead guy is clearly a tremendous actor because he is the only thing that connects this entire movie. It's really disjointed. They jump back and forth, but that's fine. But you see, you know, over time, you know, just how bad his situation is. But this movie doesn't deserve his performance because it's a terrible movie. It is heavy-handed. Like, even by any standards, this is... like, this is the most. Boy.
So Damien, what you're saying is that... You sons of bitches.
This
strong... female-led, female-directed movie. Yes. The only bright spark about it was the man.
Pretty much.
A time's up, bitch.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Hashtag this movie sucks. it was nominated for a bunch of shit.
Yep.
But that was in the 70s. And cocaine was popular in the 70s.
I was hoping it would be good too because, as I said, the trailer promised me something else. And also, and I know I shouldn't take this as for granted, Criterion gave it a...
Douglas, everything that you guys saw evaporates in the second half of this movie.
That sucks.
It just, like, it is... You guys saw the best parts of the movie, which is crazy to say. It goes downhill fast. And it is, like, it's unearned. And then for them to be that heavy-handed with the message, you're just like, look, guys, no. No, I cannot. Listen, men are garbage, but for fuck's sake, you don't get to say that the Holocaust is the closest thing for a man to experience, to understand what it is like to be a woman. That's a bit much. Even back in the 70s, it's a bit much. Times were dark, but for fuck's sake, it's the Holocaust. Let's relax. Just a tad. But yeah, the movie. But if I had known, you sons of bitches can't watch this movie. Oh my god. Oh,
so you're saying Tompa approved, Damien?
Yeah, man. Oh, if I could travel back to 1975, it would have been on my list. Best movie of 75. Like, everything about this movie. Like, after the movie ended, and then I saw that it was a lady director. I don't know what you call those. assistants, I think, but who cares? Secretaries? I don't know.
Director's attendant?
Right.
Yeah.
I was just like, Andrew must have picked this for Douglas. Only Andrew would have seen this Venn diagram and gone, this is a tough movie. But no, Douglas saw, in fairness, a trailer that if the entire movie was that, it makes sense why you picked this movie. That is not this movie. Like, the second half of this movie has no bearing on the first. It's...
And also because we get into the part of the year where I think we all kind of feel an obligation to pick newer movies.
Right.
I wanted to have one last hurrah with not a new movie.
Right.
I saw it and I was immediately scared.
This ain't it.
The minute I see Douglas picks a movie from the 70s, I'm very frightened.
Just like, it's like, oh no. Oh no, this is
not
bad.
Another Alice's Restaurant.
Oh my god.
Douglas, I forgot about that fucking movie.
Of course you did. Your brain, listen, any brain that hangs on to that.
But guys,
is a bad brain.
I still don't understand how you do like that movie. The song was fucking great.
Right. What are we talking about? Here's what I remember about that movie. Fuck this movie. I never speak to Douglas. That's what I remember. This isn't one of Douglas' worst picks. It's just bad. And both of you know it because you've seen enough to go, I don't need to say anymore of this. Yeah.
I was actually hoping that it had gone past its shittiness and come into what seemed to be some sort of absurdist comedy. But no, okay.
You saw all the jokes.
Douglas, you had no time for Italian Nazism.
That is correct.
What films did you have time for this week?
So this week, I didn't watch a lot. It included a bunch of rewatches as per usual. And some Marvel stuff. Actually, technically, they're both comic book movies. Did you know, Andrew, that The Addams Family was originally a comic strip?
I did not.
So yeah, so I have been watching, you know, scrappy comic book movies. But in 4K. Mm-hmm. Spider-Man in 4K, Damian. So good.
Night Monkey!
What I did watch. I watched a new movie. We can't do if it was dumb or if it was fun. Or bad or good or whatever game I've been playing so far, because there's only one. And I suppose it had aspects of both, but it really is just a bad movie. Have you guys watched or heard of a film called Stockholm?
Yes.
I've heard of it.
Your favorite actor.
Yeah,
in the
my
world.
Favorite actor, Ethan Hawke.
Yes.
Where
he's robbing a bank or something?
And right. It's about the Stockholm syndrome. Right. Ethan Hawke blows it out the park.
Mm-hmm. Plays the American.
This movie's great. He's great in this movie as just the dumbest bank robber ever. But not dumb in the way that Pacino played Dog Day Afternoon dumb, because that's serious.
Right.
Dumb in the way that Dumb and Dumber plays dumb. That's how dumb this dummy is. And he's great at it. You watch a trailer and you hope that the whole movie is what Ethan Hawke's portrayal is, but unfortunately it is not. The rest of the movie is just average, and so it was not a fun time to be had. But
boo,
he was in it, Mark Strong was in it, and so I was really hoping, even though I've never quite she's Noomi Rapace is somebody who people like. People have liked her since she was in the Spiderweb movies. The Dragon Tattoo movies.
Jesus Christ, the Spiderweb movies. Oh, thank you, Douglas.
And then she kind of transitioned to the Western world, and people have liked her. I'm not quite sure why. She seems to be a serviceable actor, but just never is in something I enjoy enough to decide to like her. And again, she's successful at that. This movie is not good enough for me to like her. It's not bad enough for me to call it bad.
I saw her in Glasses in the trailer. So
yes. But yeah, I was very disappointed in this movie. And more hopeful that I could just find another Ethan Hawke movie that I like. It has been, we are now, so 2014, it has been 5 years, maybe 6 years, since the last, before. I believe that gives us 3 more years for it to be on track for release. Now, Linklater, Richard Linklater, and the rest of the team, listen. I am waiting on that shit.
Didn't Boyhood success convince him that his next movie was supposed to take like 80 years?
Actually, apparently he is working on something like that. But he did that while doing other movies. He can do the new one while doing other movies. He's already made a couple movies. He did a Flag Flying one. He did, I think he did another one. I can't remember what. Oh,
there's apparently a new one that came out this summer that was bad. Bernadette Summer or something. Bernadette's Escape.
It was bad. I wanted to watch it. And then he did the
I'm pretty sure I will not stop you from watching it.
And I'm pretty sure I will stop you from not watching it. It's cool. We have a rapport going here. And he did the second part to Dazed and Confused.
Mm-hmm. He's made a lot of bad movies.
No, he has not.
And then he has the Before trilogy. And that is it.
Fuck you. He has some really good movies.
Like the Before trilogy.
There's Dazed and Confused.
Like the Before trilogy.
There's Dazed and Confused 2.
I don't think you've seen those movies. I've seen them. I think they're bad.
I think
people love them.
Yes, we do.
I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Sparrow was tremendous in that first one. Was he in the second one? I haven't seen him. right. Andrew. A Burt Douglas. So I win.
10 points.
Andrew, what movies have you seen?
10 points to Arsenal. I've seen a couple of things. So I'll start with
future
the
future movies.
Hmm?
Are any of them future movies?
Yes. There's one future movie in here. Well, no, it might not be too future-y. Like, it could be available to you. It has popular people in them. But I'm sure you won't watch it until next year. So I'll start with the mediocre. There was... I watched this movie by the name of Fighting With My Family.
Yes, I've seen that movie.
That's
a wrestling movie.
A wrestling movie that was directed by Stephen Merchant.
It's better than I thought it was.
Starring Florence Pugh. And which is the reason why I watch this goddamn movie.
Pew pew.
And I'm with you, Damien. Better than I expected, but still kind of in that middle area of, you know, it's just a family friendly, like, uplifting story thing.
This is like two swear words away from just being like a Disney movie. Like, it is the most sanitized version of wrestling and a wrestling story I've seen for a good long time. Like, wherever the wrestler is on the spectrum, this is the entire... This might as well be propaganda. Yeah.
Is what you're saying.
Right, might as well be propaganda. Is what this.
And both those movies have The Rock in them.
Of course, because it's wrestling.
Yes.
Yeah,
I saw that trailer with him and Emily Blunt.
So, okay. I want to talk about that trailer, not because I've watched the trailer, because I have not.
Jesus.
I want to talk about it because I have seen a screenshot of that trailer,
uh-huh.
And based on that screenshot, I want to watch that movie.
Yeah, you saw Emily Blunt.
I saw Emily Blunt, and I saw The Rock, uh-huh. And I saw them making funny faces, and I said, yes, please. They were in some sort of car that they were driving,
yeah,
and it looked like a ridiculous, ridiculous comedy.
I should have gone about it like you have, where I did watch the trailer. The trailer actually got me less excited
because
it looked bad.
Yeah.
But I'm still going to watch A Rock and Emily Blunt mm-hmm. in anything.
I'm pretty sure that I know that there are still movies with The Rock in it that I have not seen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that before I die, I will remedy that situation. Yeah.
I just think it's hilarious that they're remaking Pirates of the Caribbean.
Sorry, what?
Yeah, it's basically that. They're basically remaking Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, it's also, I'm pretty sure, based off another ride off of Disney, which is what Pirates of the Caribbean was. They're doing the whole going to the jungle adventure movie and there's mystical magic shit.
Yeah.
Danger!
And the non-believer who now sees the thing, which is the story of the first Pirates movie, he's like, mm-hmm. ghosts don't exist, and they all look ghosts.
Yeah.
It's a fucking Pirates movie, and they just cast another big name to be in the Pirates movie, right. Which is The Rock.
Yeah, I mean, those Pirates movie made trillions of dollars.
The only thing that upsets me about it is that just looking at the trailer... Like, it looks mm-hmm. like they've given it the kiddie CGI look. Where
yeah, because it's not for you.
I know. Andrew. But those Pirates movies still look good.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, like when you see the squid face guy, that's like, he looks awesome. Like, they did the work.
Right.
right? Yes. I don't mean about the story being childish. I'm sure it always is, right?
I understand what you're saying.
But anyways. Maybe
somebody will complain and they'll take 6 months to change it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put up a petition. I expect you all to sign it and retweet it.
I'll definitely retweet it. Don't you worry.
Anyways, moving on. Fighting with my family, whatever. I watched El Camino, the Breaking Bad movie.
Oh, really?
Yep.
How bad is it? On a scale of bad to worse.
Yeah.
It is not good, not bueno. but I think the most important thing about it is what this feels like is it feels like a reunion episode of a TV show 10 years later, where they got back all of the cast because, I mean, they're not all together, but like they do this story structure where it's flashback and forward and after Jesse gets escaped, he escapes mm-hmm. at the end of the show. So like you get to see the story of him escaping, but it also flashbacks to just random memories. So you get to have a scene with Walter White. You get to have a scene with Jonathan Banks. You get to have a scene with Jesse Plemons. I think the only big name out of this show that isn't in there randomly is Better Call Saul.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's because he already has his own separate show or if whatever reason. It was probably just scheduling for all I know.
He doesn't get out of his bed for less than a million. We know this.
But right? the weirdest thing about Netflix it shit. Is that I watch this thing and all I can think about is Vin Diesel and Fast and Furious. All I can think about is this feels so hard to me, like Aaron Paul just couldn't cut it doing Need for Speed movies or every other thing else he did. Mm-hmm. And then he called up Vince and said, dude, I need a bump. Right? And they're like, all right, we'll go back to Breaking Bad. So they did a Breaking Bad 2-hour episode. And like a lot of it has good things in it, right? Like the Jesse Plemons bit is great. And part of it is because I still love Jesse Plemons playing that character. I mean, when was it Breaking Bad ended? Like 6 years ago?
Oh, whatever.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, it was 2013. The last season was when you and I went up to TIFF the first time.
Yeah. So like it's not necessary, right? And that's how it I'm not saying that in the sense of it didn't do anything. I mean, as in just that, or I didn't want it. I feel like when you watch this, if you watch this, when it is over, it added nothing. It took away nothing. It just felt like 2 hours where they were like, we wanted to milk Breaking Bad some more. And it just didn't feel... It didn't even have the fun that you have with, like, crazy Western Breaking Bad. So...
You're saying this is Breaking Bad DLC?
Yes. Yes. Right. There's one, like, quick draw scene, which was pretty dope. But that's about it. Mm. Yeah.
When Breaking Bad ended, the thing I said was, all right. it took one full season of people saying, this Better Call Saul show is real good, before I went, all right, fine. Because, after the while, he did Tremé. That show sucks.
Thank you.
I liked it for a while.
He tried, but that show sucks. And so when they said Better Call Saul, I went, this is going to be terrible. And literally everyone had to be on board before I went, all right, fine. Because Breaking Bad did all the things. It even ended how I wanted it to end. There are people up in, like, every final episode of every TV show, there's people bitching and moaning. But that show did what it was supposed to do. And I didn't need any more. And so when I saw this, I watched a trailer and went, I don't need the last thing I want, the last story I need told at this point is his story. Like, he was just the thing to propel Walter White into becoming a demon.
Yeah.
And if he had fallen out of the show I don't think the show would have been worse for it. Mm-hmm. Like, towards those final season.
Wasn't there a whole season barely where he was missing?
Yeah. Right.
and then he came back. And as you say, even when he came back, right, he wasn't necessarily the biggest thing.
This show is not about you, son.
But I will say that I was kind of thinking of watching this movie just because, you know, why not? I also had resigned myself to the fact that it probably wouldn't be that great. Now that Andrew has confirmed, I'll probably still watch the movie, but I know that it won't be anytime soon.
I love that. Douglas is like, now that Andrew has told me what I thought is going to happen is going to happen, I'll probably watch it.
They made that Breaking Bad movie 8 years from now.
Something like that.
I should watch that.
A few years down the line. Yeah.
Next on the trip is going to old time Japan movies. I watched a film by the name of Ugetsu, which is a film from 1953 by Kenji Mizoguchi, which is a fantastic movie, but at the very same time, an old-ass Japanese movie. And what that really means is that this is a movie in which, if you don't figure out what the story is within 20 minutes, by that point, some character will actually tell you what the story is. But I still kind of liked it. And like a lot of movies like this, it's a very parabolic story of these two men. I was trying to say parable, and then it turned into parable or whatever.
Actually, you might be right. I have no clue if parabolic is about the parabola or the parable, but it just sounded too close to parabola for me not to resist that dumb joke.
I understand. It's in a war-torn Japan, and these two men who have their needs, they're very much like a lot of these movies. They give their characters very simple wants in life. One of which wants to be wealthy. He's like a potter on the side. He makes vases and stuff, and the next man wants to become a samurai, a warrior who does great in war. And it's one of those movies where it's all about watching these men just go deeper and deeper into these wants that then become the bad thing for them and their families. And it's a really fucking good movie. But at the same time, it's old-time Japanese movies where they're going to tell you a lot of things that they could probably edit out to make it better for the sake of not having someone say it blatantly. But I really enjoyed this movie. The film is fantastic, and yeah, I'll leave it there. I'm going to just mention on the side, I'm almost done catching up with What We Do in the Shadows, the TV series. And
so that's what you're watching instead of Peaky Blinders?
Yes, because that show is fucking fantastic.
Thought it was Succession he was watching instead of
I finished Peaky Blinders. That as well.
And so you finish watching Peaky Blinders?
Nope, haven't started yet.
I don't know what's happening.
I see that my package is at Mail Pack, so I'm going to start watching Peaky Blinders real soon.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
As in this weekend, and then I'll finish this weekend.
Did you start watching Top Boy again?
Top Boy? No, I haven't.
You should.
I need to. Yeah, I know.
So, okay. What We Do in the Shadows, I've reached around episode 8, which is right after the trial. And there are a lot of special guests in that episode, as there are many vampires and the jokes are oh too good. This show, like, it started out, I felt like this show started out very much in an Office-y vein, where the first couple or so episodes, so much of it is so closely tied to the script and jokes of what the movie is, that you're worried that it's just going to be like a generic-ish whatever, but it builds into so much more. And
I suppose that's also the argument for The American Office, right? I know you never got into it, but I watched the first couple episodes of that, hated it because it was the UK Office. Then after a while, they ran out of UK Office to do, and they became their own thing, which is great.
And I mean, there still is a little bit of stuff going on that's like from movie stuff, but I feel like after around episode 4 it seems to deviate completely, or at least come up with new material, and the show is fucking fun. I love it, and it's probably one of the best shows of the year. Especially if we're calling it just best new shows as opposed to all the shows we continue watching, but it's great. Succession is fucking fantastic. I know Douglas said he was watching this at some point. I don't know how far he's gotten yet.
I'm still only like, I just finished the second or third episode. Listen, Peaky Blinders, all right?
Douglas, towards the tail end of the second season, there is a rap that occurs.
Okay.
That is the best fucking thing ever.
I mean, I saw a rap battle in Legion that should rival anything that ever happened in any other show.
I'm willing to put this in contest. Contesting it.
Don't say things you can't
battle. At least in the region, right? And part of it is character based. So like when you watch a Legion battle, like you get, it's fun and it's ridiculous because every part of that show is fun and ridiculous and over the top. But yes, this is just a bunch of rich people, yeah, right? Mm-hmm. And someone reaches for this rap, and it is glorious to watch. Someone actually says out loud while it is happening, "My eyes are burning, but I can't stop looking." And they're not wrong.
All right.
But yeah, this show is fantastic. The finale, which aired this weekend gone by on HBO for the second season, it's pretty fucking amazing.
Speaking of finales, mm-hmm, I saw something, an article somewhere suggesting that Watchmen starts this week.
Yep. We're loading into the next set of HBO shows now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the last thing I want to talk about is I want to talk about Gemini Man.
Why, but hold on, I'm a little bit worried. Ooh. Because I thought we were starting from worst to best. Mm-hmm. And if this is the best, Andrew, oh boy,
Angus,
your
Lee
week was not good.
No, I think,
or are
I,
you
I,
suggesting I, otherwise?
I left this for the end because there's stuff I want to talk about, and it's all not right, because right, it's the best.
Right? You see it at 400 frames per second.
Yes, that is what I want to talk about. Uh-huh. So first of all, talking about the movie, this is a shitty action movie. This is a movie that should have come out in the 90s and feels perfect for Will Smith in his Will Smith comeback-a-thon of movies. Mm-hmm. Because this feels like a movie Will Smith would have made in the 90s. And it is fine. Right, the story is trash. Will Smith is Will Smith, and a lot of the action is pretty damn good. Right,
Andrew, how does it feel to say that about Ang Lee?
It hurts a little bit.
Good.
But I have things to say about Ang Lee, because he has made this choice to do this high frame rate thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first time I'm watching like 3D high frame rate. And it is fucking weird. Right? Damien, have you ever walked into a electronic store and seen all of the fancy TVs with their motion smoothing on?
Every single time I walk into Price Matter seats.
It is like
actually,
that
I was
on cocaine.
Bad Boys today with motion smoothing on.
And you wanted
in
to
Popeyes.
Stab yourself? I saw that picture.
It looks like that on cocaine. Right?
Yeah, I can imagine.
Everything looks super bright, right? Everything mm-hmm. looks so, like, edged out. And it's weird because of going through this movie, eventually all I could think about was video games.
Right.
Right? Where video games, we had this whole, like, within the last decade or more, where everyone was talking about frame rates and making sure right. your machine ran at frame rates. And mm-hmm. if you dip below 60, like, it's a waste of time.
Yep.
Seriously. And yeah. you could tell the difference in video games
like,
when it
1080 Ti.
When you could see the fluidity of the motion, and that is what it gives it in the movies, right? That mm-hmm. fluidity of motion, which at the same time, I'm not sure whether it's because we're used to 24 frames per second in movies, right? Mm-hmm. And what that motion looks like. And people have figured out how to film that and how to do it correctly and how to make everything look right, as opposed to right now where it gives us this extra fluidity, but it just looks a touch off. And it really only looks off for people, which is why video games came to mind, because everything else on that screen looks just amazing. It has a crispness to it where you're like, that just looks fucking awesome, right? But at the same time, you feel like you're watching security footage, and it's weird. But regardless, Ang Lee went out on this limb, and he tried some shit. Like, there's a shot in this movie where I think in the opening he is like trying to snipe someone on a super fast train, and he sets up the camera in a way where the train basically in the lens pivots right in the middle. So it's like you're seeing the lens bend the train itself. And it looked really, like, it's weird when people do shit like this.
Like, it's your mind.
It's strange when people do things like this where it's pretty much a tech demo. But at the same time, when you see it, you're like, oh, that's kind of cool. Right? Like, if someone just showed it to you, like, say, in a Sony conference to say, we made this new camera and it does this, you'd be like, yeah, that looks cool. But if you see that in a movie with, like, where you're expecting story and shit, you're like, But it was still kind of cool. And everything about this movie is all about the action scenes, and they're really fucking good. There is bike foo in this movie.
Damn it.
Right?
Going to have to watch this movie now.
And the story is as dumb.
The last time I saw bike foo was Torque.
This has better bike foo.
Hey, all right, listen.
This has better bike foo.
All right, let me be very clear.
All right, so.
Let me be very, very clear. You already called into question the goodnosity of Legion's rap battle, which I let slide because I haven't seen more than 5 seconds of Succession. But hear me now. I have seen the pinnacle of bike foo. Okay? Torque is the greatest movie I've seen in the last 20 years. I will not have anyone say anything on it.
Andrew Robinson, I have two questions for you. First off, is this movie better than The Hulk?
That is... He said it. He watched this movie, so yes, by very definition, he called it a movie. The Hulk isn't a movie.
You know, in my head for a hot second, I thought of Edward Norton, but I realized he's talking about the Ang Lee Hulk movie.
Yes. Yep.
I have completely forgotten the Ang Lee Hulk movie. I think the only thing I really remember from that movie is there's a scene where, like, he's like in a bathroom and it fogs up and then he hulks out. That's all I really remember. And someone is giving him therapy.
I remember Hulk dogs.
I remember like comic book panels. I remember that.
Right. I remember like a swamp. God, that movie sucks.
And Nick Nolte's in that too, right?
Of course.
I haven't watched that movie in forever.
That lady from Lord of the Rings is in there.
Yeah, man. Liv Tyler.
Liv Tyler. Right.
Yeah. But yeah,
the second
I saw
second
things.
Question is this movie better than Arrow?
I'd say yes. Whoa. Better than Arrow.
All right. If you had said no, I'd have just not bothered watching the movie. I can't.
It's and the other thing about it with the high frame rate and the CG, it's strange to me because Will Smith, like, he looked just strange for the motion smoothing things. But then the Will Smith double will look even weirder because of the CG on him.
Right.
Like, it'll look like 90s CG where you're like, oh, that's the Terminator. That's Terminator 2.
Jesus Christ.
But because everything is brightly lit and they don't use those tricks from the 90s where they darken everything to kind of make it a little harder to tell, it looks weird. But still, the action mostly is pretty awesome.
Maybe if you say put in a 2080 Ti and turn on tessellation and ray tracing, maybe it would look better.
Put it this way, I had a good enough time with this movie that I am sincerely curious to watch this again at home without the whole frame rate and stuff to to see if the movie looks like a regular movie, and I'll just and I won't see all of the high frame rate shit that I don't like.
Maybe the first time I saw football, the real one, not American football, running at 60 frames per second, I was just like, I don't know why everyone isn't doing this, but please, dear Lord, get me football running at 60. Like, you see it, and you're just like, that, everything there looks how my brain thought it looked until, like, when you go back, since then, since I think it was the World Cup, since then, going back and watching football, 30 frames, you're just like, I hate everything that is happening on this screen. But I've heard that everyone says that about sports. Like, sports is the thing that really benefits from as much frame rate as you can throw at it. There's people who have seen, people in Tokyo that have seen.
Who would have thunk it? Media, where things move very quickly, benefit from more frames.
I mean, there's movies that move very quickly. But there's people who've seen track and field in 120 frames, and they're just like, it's literally like going to a stadium and staring at it. It is indistinguishable. But of course, Japan has like 4K and all of that bullshit that they can test at all times, because they're testing a bunch of shit for, because they have the Olympics next year. So we'll see. Part of me wanted to see this movie.
Next year and wake up during World Cup.
There's no World Cup next year.
Because fuck the Olympics.
I'm sorry, what?
Fuck.
Uh-huh.
The
Olympics.
Winter Olympics?
Yes. Special Olympics, that's racist. if it's my turn, I watch sports. The Good Place sucks. I wanted to, like, I went back. Here's how bad the last two seasons have been.
I'm still watching it, by the way.
Me too.
Yeah,
okay. I watched the first two seasons again in like the space of a week.
Was the second season good though? Which one was the second season?
The second season is when they introduced what's her name? The train tracks lady.
And really? So they were still in The Good Place in the second season? So that means I still liked it?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
The third season is when it all went to shit and this season sucks. But for two seasons, it was spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
And rewatching season one, there's a point where I'm just like, this TV show could do anything. And to see that they're back to the beginning and just doing the same bits again, it sucks. This is bad. It's very sad that, because it's not like Legion or Preacher where there's a dip, but they're like, this is the final season. And once the season starts, you're just like, oh, everyone knows what time it is. This is their final season, and I have no confidence that they know what is happening. Like, it feels like they ran out of jokes a season and a half in, and NBC is just like, this is too popular, we cannot take this off the air. And everyone just seems to be putting in minimal effort, and it is very depressing that this is this bad. I watch, of course, I'm the only one that actually watched the movie, so I get extra props this week. So you people are garbage people.
Glad to know I don't need to watch that movie again.
I watch Dion Cole's stand-up special.
Oh, I wanted to talk to you about that. Damien, how much do you hate that fucking special?
I like Dion Cole.
Fuck you!
I've always liked Dion Cole. No, he is like, wherever the middle of comedy is, there's people at the top and there's people that are trash.
Yeah.
He, for his entire career, has just been
in them. He wrote for Conan and Blackish, and those are the jokes that he's making.
How I know him is through Conan. And Andrew has an affinity to him, which I'm surprised he hasn't spoken about this.
He just had one good bit on Conan that I liked. I have
and you've loved him ever since.
I loved him ever since. There was that shitty show on TBS.
He had his own show.
Okay. No, it wasn't his show. It was the Terriers or whatever it was called. I forgot what the name of the show is.
The Terriers? Terriers.
There was this show... There was this show with
I know what you're talking about with Quincy Jones' daughter Rashida Jones.
Yeah, Rashida Jones and stuff, and it was really weird. And I thought I liked it for a little while, but it just kind of went too far for me. And ever since then, anything I've seen him in has just been whatever to nothingness. Mm-hmm. I've seen like 15 minutes of his stand up that went up on Netflix, and it is weird. Like, it isn't weird in the sense like, oh, we're talking about David Cross weird. This is weird in the sense that it feels like it's a time traveling machine. Because it feels like all of the jokes are from like the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he doubles down on black people and white people are different. You know?
That's been his thing the entire time. And then like in the middle, he has like his weird observations. That he does his bit where he is pretending that he wrote down these jokes.
And yeah, I got that far.
That has worked for his... Mm-hmm. Like, he, much like Jeff Dunham, when I walk in, I know what I am getting.
Yeah, you're getting a puppeteer.
Yeah, and that is what I came for. It is not... Listen, there's people that I expect great things from. Mm-hmm. These two aren't those people. When I go in there, the bar is set so low that they just need to have average jokes. What's his name? Daniel Tosh is Daniel Tosh started out where I thought he was going to be tremendous.
People seem to like him. I mean, I only know him as his show, but I know that that's not him.
Yeah, that's not right. So he has steadily come down.
Mm-hmm.
But and so now he's just in the middle, and that is what I expect. And so I go in knowing that, listen, there won't be magic here. There'll just be a couple jokes. Some of them are broad and obvious and have been done since the dawn of time. But if he can come up with something, I'll be there. Now, if Anthony Jeselnik told the same jokes Dion Cole told, I'll never watch him again because I'd be upset. It is how I felt about the Dave Chappelle special. His new special is trash.
It's all right.
It is all right by Dion Cole standards, but Dion Cole's name is not on the marquee. It said Chappelle. He came back and dropped two specials that were tremendous. So when he's like, all right, I'm back, you're just like, well, Dave Chappelle is impervious to time. He's just going to be funny forever. Turns out, maybe not, because this special is trash. Here's how I know it's trash. You'll never watch that special again.
Probably not. No.
Right.
Yeah. I've watched some.
When you think of Dave Chappelle, you'll go back to any of the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking for something funny to watch. Do you know where I landed?
Did you land where I landed? I started rewatching the James Acaster.
Exactly. Yes. Watching it out, I watched the first one that I watched was, I think, number 3, where he was like in witness protection.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I think that one was the weakest one. Mm. Turns out it's not.
No, it's not.
When you watch them one at a time, if you watch them all together, then you'll find faults with some.
Yeah.
But when you just watch them one, you're just like, this man is a fucking genius.
He really is. Why he has not put more on?
Because he gave me four of them.
Netflix. But Damien, the thing that upset me was, you know how good those are, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're real good.
Yes.
And you are probably happy, as I was, that we got three of them one time. And you, like I probably said, boy, he did a lot of work to get all three of those together. We can give him some time. I was displeased to discover that those were three old shows that he had been doing for ages, that he just decided, you know what, I'll get some money and put it on Netflix. Yeah. And he's been doing new stuff from a long time and has not still put it on Netflix or anywhere that I can watch. I want to watch it. And yet, instead, what he's doing that is available to me are shitty podcasts.
You can watch him on the BBC.
Yeah, he's on like Mark the Week every once in a while, no? Yeah.
And you should watch Mark the Week.
I enjoy Mark the Week. Yeah.
But
my issue is BritBox works on my tablet.
BBC. Oh, you're not using the UK proxy.
I do, but I've kind of gotten upset with it now because I think I said it still last week. Last night was the epitome of it. But
it looks like trash.
It looks like trash. Okay. And the UK one, I guess it's, you know, it has to walk further.
If you have the iPlayer, you can also download them. So you can eliminate.
Oh, you can download them?
Yeah, you can download them.
Because I have iPlayer on the Android box. Right. So let me see if it has a
download button. Right, you can eliminate some other. So, this is just staying on the tangent. Andrew Robinson, I have a PlayStation Vita. I've had one for years. Don't use it to do anything because it's a PS Vita. One day I was on YouTube and YouTube is just like, the title of the video is just PS Vita, best handheld of all time. And I went, that is incorrect. I have one. This is wrong. Clicked on it to hear what this goddamn lunatic was saying, and just like, and 10 seconds in, they're just like, listen, what you do is you put emulators on this, and then it is the best because the screen and the control, they're like, it does everything. I was just like, that's a pretty good idea. It's not a bad idea. And then something else, like the next video down was best box for emulation. And I went, that is a PC. Turns out, NVIDIA Shield TV.
I like it.
Is a lot. It is the emulated community's dream. Because what they've done is built the emulators specific for Android TV. And so you hit the console you want and it shows the box art. And because it's NVIDIA box, it is uber powerful.
And it even comes with its own
controller. And it was just like a sight, and I'm like, has it been that long since I've looked it? Because when I was in school, had time and no money, emulation made sense. And looking at where emulation is, like, there's those people who are just like, listen, here's, I remember you had said at some point that the price went down for the Android TV. The reason it went back up is because once the Android people started doing this, no one could keep them anywhere. I was just like, wow. This world is... There's a time I'd have just had this information. I'd have just known because you're involved with this. But it's gone too far. But there's people who are just like, listen, the only thing to get... And it's just comment after comment of people saying, yeah, it does this and this and this and this and this. And all, and you don't have to do the, like, there's no jailbreaking or like
it, no, the shit just. It's fucking great.
It has USB.
I love the box. Like, the only thing that I'm getting upset over is that it's clear to me that they are intentionally slowing it down because they're getting ready to release a new one. You know, but that's the only thing.
But what's funny is, based on everything I've heard, the next one that they're releasing isn't like it's going to have Android TV, but it's like
Samsung.
No, it's like there's things that people buy, but you know, like it's like a back massager. Where it's like, this is a back massager.
you and I know what this is going to be used for. And that's basically what everyone's saying about this box. I'm just like, wait a second. Like, all right, listen. We have this box here that we desperately want them to update. And you're just like, why would they need to update this with the things that you guys are asking for? And then you see, like, the list of things, like, ultra-specific things that people are pointing to. It's like, is it not? Like, it's an Android TV box. The name.
Yeah, I'm probably the only person that,
yeah,
actually
that
uses
it
whole.
It was fascinating. This, oh boy, we built a weird world. I've seen this. Even though I told myself I wasn't watching any of the Europe with a stalling grind. And then I hear that you were told our engine's getting cold to Malcolm, Ben, and Jonathan. Letting pedestrians steer from behind.